Oftentimes, the disciples will inspire us, pointing us to greater possibilities, like when Jesus called from the lake shore and said, "Follow me," and they left their nets behind. Or when Jesus sent them out without bread or bag or tunic to various cities, caring for others. But other times, the disciples comfort us because it is painfully obvious that they are still learning what it means to follow Jesus like we are. That they are struggling to understand what Jesus means by the kingdom of God, which is the way God wants the world to look, where all wrongs are made right and all brokenness is made whole. But Jesus says, in order for the kingdom of God to fully come, suffering will be involved. And the disciples were expecting a triumphant king, not a suffering servant. That it just doesn't seem right. Like that 8-year-old girl who hops into the back of the station wagon right after school, that when the bell rang, she could not wait to tell her mother she's been invited to her first spend the night party. She gets in the car. She is beaming. She tells her mother, and her mother looks in the rearview mirror at her daughter sitting in the back seat and says, "Well, we can talk about that," which was her first clue. It might not work out. Later on that night, her parents tried to explain why she couldn't spend the night out. They felt like she was still a little young, that they didn't know this other family very well, and their family already had plans for the weekend. And the parents assumed this was an open and shut discussion. Nothing else needed to be said. But then their daughter rose up in protest and said, "You let Susan, her older sister, spend the night out. That is not fair." And then her parents said those immortal words that perhaps we have all heard on occasion. "Well, life is not fair." And those words are both liberating and devastating. They are liberating because they help us to where we don't live in denial that at times life does not play fair. And if we can accept that, we can better deal with it. But they are also devastating. They are dripping with sadness because it also means that this world is not the way God hopes for it to be. That the disciples are trying to understand why the road Jesus has chosen is going to be so hard. After all, Jesus is trying to do good. It is not fair. Why do people hurt? Why do people hate? Why are people hungry? And Jesus wants to both liberate and comfort them. To liberate them by saying clearly that this road is going to be hard, but also comforting them. Letting them know that he realizes the world is not the way it is supposed to be. He says it's like this widow who keeps going before this unjust judge, a judge that does not respect people, does not fear God, that is essentially unfit to judge, yet he has the power to decide. And this widow, who is powerless, keeps standing up to say, "Grant me justice." It's the cry of justice that we overhear in all victims who are trying to be heard, reaching out to say, "We need help." We hear echoes of the cry of the widow and those suffering under the apartheid or during the civil rights movement, or anybody today that feels left out or forgotten. That throughout Scripture, the widow represents the person who does not have power. Whether it is the child or the poor, the vulnerable or the oppressed. But this widow has a particular strength about her, and the parable wants us to see it. That she stands there in the spirit of Ruth and Naomi, who made their way through a situation that was near impossible by making this faithful commitment to one another. That she stands up in the spirit of the widow of Zarephath, who welcomed Elijah into her home and fed him, stepping out in faith and with courage. And she stands there like the prophet Anna, who spent the latter years of her life praying each and every day in the temple until that day came where she offered a blessing on Mary, Joseph, and Jesus once he was born. That we cannot forget that in the life of the early church, widows as a group had an essential ministry. That they were held up by the church as those committed to go out and to care for others, to inspire others to participate in the work of the kingdom of God, to live as if the kingdom of God is already here. That those without power have a great deal to teach us. That Jesus says to the disciples that they are to go out into this world that does not always play fair and, like this widow, to pray always and to never lose heart, living as if the kingdom of God is already here. And whenever we read the parables of Jesus, we might decide to jump inside of them, to stand with different characters in the story, looking at what the parable means from their perspective. And if we stand there with the widow, trying to understand what this parable means, thinking about how life is unfair, it teaches us that I, like that 8-year-old girl wanting to go to the spend the night party, have said, "Life is not fair." But that statement is different from the widow's statement. That unlike others in this life, who have not been afforded as much cushion and protection around their lives, I do not understand the unfairness of this world like they do. That if I am honest, I have had more protection around my life than others have, and that's not a bad thing. I am deeply grateful for those in my life who have provided that cushion around my life where my options were never limited. But that should never keep us from imagining the experiences of others. I oftentimes think about Rose, I met Rose years ago. She was about 8 years old, attending a tutoring program in a community where we were working, a community that knows the widow's cry better than I do. And Rose, on first impressions, she was rough around the edges and quite abrasive to be around. But then we learned that she went home every afternoon to take care of her grandmother. Her mother was always working in the afternoons. Her grandmother lived with her family and had significant medical concerns to where she could not do for herself. So Rose took care of her, even changing her colostomy bag every afternoon. That I think about Rose, who has not had as much power in this life, that Jesus calls us to feel the pain of others, to listen for the voice of the widow, even to learn from her, to know what it means to work for something good in the face of a world that is not always fair, and never to lose heart, to live as if the kingdom of God is already here. That we are to live as if every single person is a child of God. To live and love others as God has loved us. That we are to treat every single person with kindness because everyone we meet is fighting a great battle. And that we are to stand on the side of and speak up for fresh starts and new beginnings, because that is what is the heart of our faith. Like Jesus calling out to the disciples, saying, "Follow me," and they leave their nets behind. That when we hear the cry of the widow, we discover the deepest meaning of the word neighbor. And it is a hard word to define, because the meaning of that word is to be growing and widening throughout our lives, so we might discover more the picture of the love of Jesus. That like the widow standing in front of that judge, we are to stand up in front of this world and to work for what is most good for all people. Because that's how we make this world look a little bit more like the kingdom of God. Amen.